Lord, I pray that you would be pleased to speak to our hearts tonight, Father, as we open your word together. Might we grow in the knowledge and grace of Jesus, Lord. Might we be built up in the faith. Might we be equipped, Lord, to go outside of these walls and impact this world for Jesus. I pray, Father, that that would be our passion, for it is certainly our purpose according to your word. And so we thank you for that. Lord, might your Holy Spirit be our teacher, I ask, Lord, and I ask in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. Well, you can grab your Bibles and turn to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 6. We pick up our study tonight in verse 23. Solomon has just directed his son to obey his parents' counsel, as he has been reminding his son that wisdom is alive and well, and it's something that he needs to embrace. For the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, we know that the Proverbs declares. And here in verse 23, he says to his son, "When thou goest, it shall lead thee," or excuse me, in verse 22, "When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life." So Solomon is telling his son that the word of God brings light to your path, that it provides protection. And we know in our society today in particular, our society is emphasizing the sexual. We see it in every venue, really, whether it's in our workplace or on the television or on the computer or in print or on the billboards. Everything is marketed with sex. And it's become a preoccupation. And here in our country, and perhaps worldwide, we also see that there's this idea that marriage is disposable, particularly in Hollywood, as you follow all of the things that are coming out of Hollywood in terms of the movies and the conduct of those actors who are part of that culture, looking for something more exciting. And Solomon would tell his son, you need to know and understand that it's a trap, that ultimately the one who gets caught up in that is made a crust of bread, which is eaten and then gone. He goes on there in verse 27, can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? So he that goes in to his neighbor's wife, whosoever touches her shall not be innocent. Men do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacks understanding. He that does it destroys his own soul. And a wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. For jealousy is the rage of a man, therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will not regard any ransom, neither will he rest content, though thou givest many gifts. And so Solomon would say, we just need to embrace the reality that there's a price to pay when we walk on this path. Solomon would say, you're going to get burned. You can't take fire against your chest and not be burned. Verse 33 really talks about those self-destructive actions. A wound and dishonor will he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. Paul would say it this way, what know you not, that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man does is without the body, but he that commits fornication sins against his own body. The sad thing for the believer that falls short in this area is that they had a way of escape. And the scripture declares that there is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will give you a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So if we fall to sin, whether it's this sin or another sin, it's because we've chosen to indulge in that, not because we didn't have the ability to turn away to have victory over it. The good news is that God can and does restore. In 1 John, it tells us that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I love that. Many of us could bear witness of the reality that God can restore the years that the locusts have eaten. And that's what God does so well. He is a God of restoration, and he has given you, he's given me this ministry of reconciliation so that we can take that message to those who have fallen. Because I'm sure you have had experience with many who have dealt with people who feel like, well, God can never use me again. I'm sure that Moses went through that when he was in the wilderness of Midian after he struck down the Egyptian. Well, God can never use me again. I killed a man, and now I'm done. I'm finished, and this is where I'm going to spend the rest of my life. But the good news was God wasn't finished with Moses, and neither is God finished with us if we find ourselves in that place. He goes on there in verse 1 of chapter 7, "My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law is the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flatters with her words." Essentially, Solomon says, you, son, need to get the right equipment for the job. If you have the right equipment for the job and keep it in place and available, it will save your life. It's going to protect you. It's going to take care of you. And really, as we think about that, it's really wonderful that we just came out of the book of Ephesians, which talks about that equipment, right? The armor of God, those things which he's given us, not only for defense, but for offense in our lives. We just need to know that folly, the ways of the world, if you will, are going to try and seduce us. And that's why we need to have that armor in place. We need to be praying for discernment as those things come against us. In verse 6, he goes on, "For at the window of my house, I look through my casement." Now you can almost see Solomon sitting in his house there in Jerusalem, looking down on the street from up above and observing what's going on around him. He says, "Passing through the street," verse 8, "near her corner, he went the way to her house. And in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. She is stubborn, and her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lies in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore I came forth to meet you, diligently to seek your face, and I have found you." So Solomon really is telling his son, you know, son, you need to know and understand that we can learn by watching people. This young man that he sees is placing himself in jeopardy because he's being driven by lust rather than the Lord. And that's exactly what can happen in our lives if we're not careful. But the thing is, as we see here, that darkness can't hide our actions. This young man thought that no one was going to see, but the reality is, there was at least one that saw, and that was Solomon. And beyond that, the Lord sees, because Psalm 139 tells us that the dark and the light are both alike to our Lord. And that's good news for us. But relationships are so important, and we need to form them wisely. This lady, interestingly, mixes this lust with spirituality. She says, I've kept the things of the law. I've come off of my season of impurity, my period, and I've gone through all the cleansing. So I'm in good shape as far as the law is concerned. So let's get together, which is really such a paradox. But she invites him to join her, and she's exciting. And behold, there met him this woman, subtle of heart. Verse 11. She is stubborn, it tells us. Her feet abide not in her house, and she's without now in the streets and lies in wait at every corner. In verse 16, she goes on, we go on, and I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come and let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves, for the good man is not at home. He has gone a long journey. He takes a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. She's exciting, she's religious, and she offers many reasons for this young man to follow her. No one will know, she says. Verse 21, with her much fair speech, she causes him to yield. With the fluttering of her lips, she forces him. He goes after her straightway, as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hastes to the snare and knows not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths, for she has cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, or Sheol, going down to the chambers of death. Solomon would remind his son, don't get caught in the trap. Lust will cause you, Solomon would say, to act like an animal, not only physically committing adultery, but spiritually committing adultery as well. And it says in the end that she leads this young man to slaughter or to death. Verse 1 of chapter 8, doth not wisdom cry and understanding put forth her voice? She stands in the top of high places, by the way, in the places of the paths. She cries at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O you simple, understand wisdom, and you fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. So again, we see Solomon personifying wisdom, becomes this woman who is calling out to all who will listen. And we need to listen to her call. We need to be praying for wisdom. If we have a soft heart, we're going to be yearning after wisdom. We're going to want to have that relationship with the Lord. But admitting need is difficult. He goes on, for my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing forward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understands, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. So this growth in wisdom, you know, as we are on our journey, spiritually speaking, we need to be focused on things excellent. As we do that, the Lord is going to impart to us wisdom and understanding. Verse 9 really is the plain message. They are all plain to him that understands. In other words, as we open our eyes, as we open our hearts to the Lord, he's going to make it plain to us. We call it spiritual revelation, if you will. You know, as we're going through the scriptures, as we're reading in the morning or in the evening or whenever our time is, there are those occasions when the Lord ministers to us in a very special way as he speaks to us through the scriptures. And he imparts to us that wisdom for the day or for our lives in general. Because godly wisdom will bring richness to our lives. And that's the key, to understand that the importance of spending time in God's word, because it brings a richness to our lives. In verse 12, he goes on, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. So here he tells us that the fear of the Lord, not only is the fear of the Lord the beginning of knowledge and the beginning of wisdom, but the fear of the Lord will create within us a hate for evil. It becomes repulsive to us. As we look at what's going on around us, as we realize that wisdom's not going to embrace those things, which it talks about here in verse 13. And really, back in chapter 6, he talks about that very clearly, as a matter of fact. In verse 16 through 19, we looked at that. The six things that the Lord hates, and seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that are swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaks lies, and he that sows discord among the brethren. So those are things that characterize the wicked life. But they should not characterize the life of the believer, you see. We need to be displaying those things. We're just the opposite of that. Matter of fact, if you want to look at what we should be displaying, we just need to go and look at the fruit of the Spirit, right, in the book of Galatians, beginning with the fruit of love and all the things that flow from love. Those are the things that will pour out from your life, from my life, when we're in that Spirit-controlled place. It's the natural result of what the Lord's doing, not only in us, but through us, and we become a source of those blessings into the lives of other people. And that should be our prayer every day. Lord, help me to be a blessing to all of those with whom I come in contact. Help me to pour into their lives the fruit of love and all of the other things that flow from it. Help me, Lord, to be that source of encouragement. He goes on there in verse 15, by me, kings reign and princes decree justice. By me, princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. So Solomon, just again and again, is talking about wisdom. And so we have to ask ourselves the question, well, where is wisdom found? Well, Paul would tell us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, but of him, God, the Father, are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So if we want to find wisdom, we simply need to plug into Jesus. We need to spend time with him. We need to get to know him, because wisdom needs to be sought after early and diligently. We begin our day focusing upon him as we wake up in the mornings, as we pray to start our day, as we get into the word and spend some time. Early is the idea of not only early in life, where ministry into our kids' lives becomes very important, but early in time. It becomes part of our discipline. I mean, we brush our teeth every day, you know, and those things, comb our hair, put on our clothes, the things that are necessary for us to live. Our time with the Lord should be every much as important as those things. It should just be a natural thing that flows from our lives, because God provides that which is endures. He uses the word durable. I like that, durable goods, you know, that which lasts, if you will. It can be handed forward. The Lord gives us durable goods that we can then hand forward to the next generation. And the connection between wisdom and blessing is impressive. As we experience the wisdom of God, we experience the blessing of God. So we can have security in him, or we can experience the vanity of the world, the emptiness of the world, because it won't satisfy in any enduring way. All you have to do is compare what you see in the book of Proverbs with what you see in the book of Ecclesiastes. There's the comparison between the wisdom of God and the wisdom of men. And Solomon makes it very clear, and both books flow from his pen. So I love that, because Solomon knew by experience both things. He knew the wisdom of God, but he also knew the vanity of man because he indulged himself so deeply in it. And so he is able to warn us with great authority. He goes on in verse 22, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there was no foundation abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth, while as yet he had not made the earth, or the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass above the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the water should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him as one brought up with him. I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. So we see, if you will, Jesus speaking through Solomon's pen. In John chapter 1, we read, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So we see Jesus in that as the creator of all. And we see around us in our creation what wisdom at work can accomplish. The power of God, the creative power and genius of God in our creation is absolutely astounding. And it is really earth-shaking as we really consider it, to realize that this one who created all things lives within us and has called us into relationship with himself. In verse 32, now therefore hearken unto me, O you children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that hears me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso finds me finds life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sins against me wrongs his own soul. Will they that hate me, all they that hate me, love death? Solomon says blessing will be found in obedience, but a decision is necessary. We have to choose. The principles of Scripture are our guidance and our protection. But like James would remind us, we have to have faith and works. The idea of putting all of those things which we know and understand to be true into practice in our lives, applying what God gives us. And that's, as we come into the sanctuary, that's our goal, I trust, is that we come to hear from the Lord. All of us want to hear from the Lord. And when we leave this place each time, we carry with us those things which further equip us to be what God has designed us to be. And so we come out the better for it, because God's words are profitable, and it will always return a blessing in our lives. In other words, if we find Jesus, we're going to find life. And so we draw near to him, and he meets us. In verse 1 of chapter 9, we read, wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. She hath killed her beasts. She hath mingled her wine. She hath also furnished her table. She hath sent forth her maidens. She cries upon the highest places of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wants understanding, she says to him, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish and live and go in the way of understanding. The house of seven pillars. I love that. That the number seven in Scripture is the number of completion, if you will. And so as we enter that house, the house of wisdom, we enter into this complete work that God has given us, that gives us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And if you will, it provides a balance in our lives. Because God, what God does, what God says, what God thinks, what God imparts to us is always in balance. And that's why we need to eat heartily and often. No calories in wisdom. And so he says, come, amen, preach that. And so we look at that and we realize that partaking of wisdom is like entering into and partaking of a feast, never to be exhausted. Verse 7, he that reproves a scorner gets to himself shame, and he that rebukes a wicked man gets himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. There it is. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself. But if thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear it. So wisdom's invitation is given. And one of the things it tells us, and I think it's noteworthy, particularly if you're in the business of ministering to people, sharing the gospel, encouraging others to walk with Jesus, there are those who refuse to listen. And we just need to know and understand that there comes a time when we need to say, okay, I'm going to move on. And I'm going to share my message with someone who wants to hear. Because sometimes people don't want to hear. You're able to sow the seed, but there comes a time when you need to move on that your ministry might be fruitful. I have a brother that is very active in evangelism, and he's gotten to that point where he says, you know, Mark, he says, when I share with someone the gospel of Jesus Christ, I know pretty quickly whether or not they're open to hear what the Lord has to say. And if they're not, he says, I simply say, you know what, I am so thankful that you're willing to listen to me, but I have to go. And he moves on and he begins to share with the next person that the Lord brings into his path. And in a sense, really, that can be frustrating, but it can also be a reminder that the scripture says that some plant and some water and some bring the harvest. So we have to look at that engagement, if you will, that individual who doesn't receive, as an opportunity to sow the seed into their lives. We move on, someone else comes along and they water that seed and maybe bring a harvest, or maybe it's three people or five people. We don't know, but we need to know and understand that we need to be good stewards of the time the Lord has given us in these days to share the good news with as many people as we can. Some simply will not receive. And we experience that in the prison. We experience that in the prison. It was interesting. One of the people was sharing with me that they were in a cell area where they were going cell to cell. And as they approached the cell, they said, you know, I sense this tremendous evil before there was ever any interaction. And when I spoke, they simply said, no, thank you. We're not interested. And they said, okay, fine. And they moved to the next cell. The first words out of this guy's mouth was, I want to pray. He was ready to receive Christ, and they haven't even shared with him. So you see, the Lord teaches us through those things, and we need to be willing to talk, because the wise person is willing to be taught. It's a choice. Lord, I know, I confess, I don't know anything. Matter of fact, Lord, I know almost nothing. And I want you to speak to my heart. I want you to teach me. I want to be your student. I'm willing to listen. I'm willing to respond as you speak to me. In verse 13, a foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knows nothing. For she sits at the door of her house on a seat in the high places of the city to call passengers who go right on their ways. Whoso is simple, let him come in hither. As for him that wants understanding, she says to him, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knows not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. So Solomon turns, kind of does an about face, and picks up this idea of sexual purity again. The lack of purity is one of the major problems in our world today, both physical and spiritual. And we need to be praying, Lord, help us to walk in purity. Help us to be men and women of integrity, of purity. Lord, help us to be strong in the power of your might, that we might not find ourselves in that place of pollution. It may begin sweet, but it's going to turn bitter. As we move into this next section, really, we leave the school of wisdom and purity now, and we're going to venture in to many subjects. There are individual proverbs that Solomon begins to introduce us to. In verse 1 of chapter 10, we read the Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is heaviness of his mother. That is so true in our families, is it not? We see it again and again. The purpose to be a blessing or to be a curse. And we need to realize the importance of passing this along to our children. And for us, even as we grow older, when our parents are still around us, we need to realize that we can be a blessing to them or a curse. Even though we are adults now, we still need to be those who are faithful that we might make our parents glad. Treasures, verse 2, of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivers from death. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casts away the substance of the wicked. He becomes poor that deals with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. He that gathers in summer is a wise son, but he that sleeps in harvest is a son that causes shame. In those verses, we see the importance of walking in the favor of the Lord. Diligence enriches our lives and the lives of other people. When we are diligent in our approach to life, we become a blessing. Faith and laziness do not go together. They simply do not work together at all. And that's why we need to lay the groundwork early on to be faithful men and women, that we might be a blessing to the Lord and a blessing to those around us. Verse 6, blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. He that walks uprightly walks surely, but he that perverts his ways shall be known. He that winks with the eye causes sorrow, but a prating fool shall fall. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. The cap of rightness, the idea of having those things which are a blessing. In verse 9, it talks about the fact that it brings, he that walks uprightly walks surely, or there is a security to that life. A fool's life is characterized by violence and instability. In verse 12, hatred stirs up strifes, but love covers all sins. In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. The labor of the righteous tends to life, the fruit of the wicked to sin. He is in the way of life that keeps instruction, but he that refuses reproof errs. Here we see in these verses, the stirring of the pot is not beneficial. Let it go. Verse 12, hatred stirs up strifes. We can carry offenses for a very long time. But if we find ourselves walking in the fruit of the Spirit, which the first listed is love, it's going to bring healing, not only to our hearts, but to the relationships of those around us. We've been dealing a lot with that in these days. families in just such strife because they're unwilling to let go of the hurt and allow forgiveness to flow and the love that the Lord has given them, passing that on to those that they care about. Because verse 13 tells us that we pour out what we have. In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. We need to be sure that we're not harboring hatred and unforgiveness. Verse 18, he that hides hatred with lying lips and he that utters slander is a fool. In the multitude of words, there wants not sin, but he that refrains his lips is wise. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. If we harbor hatred in our hearts, it's going to twist our hearts all up. It's going to pervert our hearts, as the Solomon would say. And what is that going to lead to? It's going to lead to the tearing down of others. If I find myself tearing down other people rather than building them up, I need to stop and I need to look at my own life to see where I have lost my way. Because that's not going to be representative of the Spirit-filled life. We need to be walking with the Lord. We need to be controlling our tongue, because that has great value. And it says that as we do that, as we control our tongue, how we speak to others, what we speak to others, when we speak to others, that it's going to provide food or strength for their lives if we are being Spirit-led. I hope that we're praying for that in our lives personally, in our families, in our fellowship, in our community, that we are there, that we are speaking the truth in love, that we are speaking as God anoints our lips, and that we become a blessing in people's lives. Verse 22, the blessing of the Lord, it makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. It is a sport to a fool to do mischief, but a man of understanding hath wisdom. The fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted. As a whirlwind passes, so is the wicked no more, but the righteous is an everlasting foundation. As vinegar to teeth and as smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to them that send him. The pursuit of riches from a worldly standpoint is foolish. What we have, what we receive, is always going to be in God's timing and purpose. And what we receive, when we receive it, if it's God ordained, it will bring joy. And that's exactly what he says there, that he will add no sorrow with it. The blessing of the Lord, it makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. We can pursue riches. We can perhaps even obtain riches. But if they're not of the Lord, they're going to bring misery. Misery in our lives. And we don't want that. The wicked live in worry, but the righteous guys live in fellowship and in security. I heard somebody say something once that has always stuck with me, that a clear conscience makes a soft pillow at night. And I love that thought. When we're walking with the Lord, when we're in fellowship with him, and we're joined together with our brothers and sisters in Christ, we are going to sleep, if you will, sweetly, because we're where God wants us to be. If I find myself all stressed out and struggling, then I'm going in the wrong direction. The wrong person's carrying the load. I'm trying to carry the load rather than let the Lord do his thing in my life. In verse 27, as we bring this to a close, the fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. The righteous shall never be removed, but the wicked shall not inherit the earth. The mouth of the just bring forth wisdom, but the froward tongue or the perverted tongue shall be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaks frowardness. We see in those verses some amazing and important contrasts. The fear of the Lord provides some things: long days, gladness, and strength. On the other hand, folly or wickedness provides short days, hopelessness, and destruction. We have to ask ourselves the question, which do we want? You know, unfortunately, some people will say, I want the latter rather than the former by their choices. We have to choose well. Lord, give us wisdom to choose well, that we might experience long days and gladness and strength in Him. God wants to do that. The scripture says He daily loads us with benefits. And don't you know that's true? He has blessed us greatly in these days in this place. And I'm so thankful for that. And He will continue to do that as we walk with Him. We all know that we don't walk with Him perfectly, but He loves us nevertheless. And He works with us to bring us into that place of a consistent, solid walk with Him. And that's the greatest pace of blessing. I need to get to know wisdom, and I need to turn away from folly. As I do that, I'm going to be blessed because the Lord has promised it and He never lies. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your word. Father, it is a challenge to us, Lord. It hits us, Lord, in places in our lives, and it needs to, Father. It helps us to evaluate and to do business with You, Lord, and that's a sign of a healthy relationship. But it also, Lord, encourages us when we realize, Father, that You're doing a good work. And I pray that You would continue to do that in each of our lives, Father, in our lives personally, in our marriages, in our families. Lord, that You would just bring us ever closer to one another and closer to You. And those two things go hand in hand. As we draw closer to You, Lord, we draw closer to one another. So may that be so, Lord, in these days. May we be a source of blessing to all with whom we come in contact. May our lips, Lord, be the lips of Jesus. Might our hands be the hands of Jesus. Lord, might our feet be the feet of Jesus. Might we live lives that say Jesus is real. I pray, Father, that You would guide and direct our steps, Lord, in these days. As we go through the book of Proverbs, Father, help us to embrace and integrate those things into our lives, which You point out to each of us. And Lord, that will be different for all of us, because You're doing a great work in each one according to Your perfect understanding. I pray the Lord would encourage your hearts tonight. I pray that He would continue to draw you ever closer to Himself, that He would fill you afresh with His Spirit, that He would give you wisdom and knowledge and understanding as you seek for Him in His Word by His Spirit, and ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.